All right, welcome everybody. On a Monday, Trash Talk Tony Nebraska is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show today. In the call, all the guys are all here, back together. Eli Bashy, Mike Bilica, Jay Horn, and Grant Richards. Let's start with Eli. How are you today, Eli? And how's your summer class going? Don't you have like 2 or 3 weeks left?
Yeah, I'm in a week, I believe, 4 out of 7. And it's going all right. You know, we're pushing through.
How'd your exam go last week that made you miss our special Tuesday edition of Trash Talk?
Could have gone better, but it also could have gone worse. I mean, pretty like average grade, I would say. But, you know, I'll take that.
But overall, you're still doing good in the class?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I will end up passing the class at least.
Hey, can't complain about that. But since we did not see you on Memorial Day or a show after Memorial Day, how was your holiday and how was the past week for you?
Pretty good. Spent a lot of time outside, spent a lot of time with family, went to a wedding, went to a graduation party. Pretty busy for me.
You want to talk about how that wedding went?
Yeah, pretty I didn't really know many people there. Because that's usually how Chaldean weddings go.
But I enjoyed the dances.
Yeah, the dancing is always a fun thing. I just wish I knew more people there so I could have maybe joined in. But okay, I'll get them next time.
He'll get them next time. That's the attitude we love to see. Thank you, Eli. Let's go to Mike Bilica. How are you today, Mike? And how are you feeling about your Montreal Canadiens being up 3-0 on the Winnipeg Jets after their win yesterday?
It's an amazing feeling. The Montreal Canadiens are about to be le champions of the great nation of Canada. It's always a great thing.
I can't believe you just dropped that.
Also, I'm excited for tomorrow. I don't know if you want to tell the viewers what's going to happen tomorrow.
No, I mean, well, you already, there's no going back now. Yeah, we're going to the Tiger game tomorrow, the Trash Talk crew.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully the weather is going to cooperate because, you know, the weather forecast is saying it's going to be a little rainy. But I checked this morning about 5 minutes ago. It does look like it's getting better. You know, last night I checked and it said 70% chance of rain. And I was talking with Jay and I'm like, oh boy, we might be getting in dangerous territory now. But, you know, today, I checked. It's down to a 40% chance. So we'll see. If the game happens, hopefully, it's going to be a great time. The six of us together, it's going to be a lot of fun. And the six guys, obviously, going to be Tyler. Tyler will be joining us at Comerica Park, so it'll be a good time. But yeah, I know you're feeling good about Montreal, though, being up 3-0.
They're going to sweep the Jets. I love it.
The Jets are so bad. And, you know, in the NHL playoffs, if your goalie gets hot, that's what you want to happen. That's when you can start to do magical things. I'm sure Grant can attest to that. But, you know, Montreal, Carey Price has went to the fountain of youth a little bit. He's starting to look like prime Carey Price, and he is playing unbelievable right now, which is the biggest reason why Montreal is, as Mike said, very likely going to sweep Winnipeg and win the great country of Canada. Now, if and when they move on, I'm not sure who they would play in the quote-unquote Final Four. I think, and don't quote me on this, I think it would be the winner of Vegas and Colorado, which if that's the case, Mike, have fun. Because I think the winner of that series ends up winning the cup. That's just my personal opinion, but we'll see, though. We'll see. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it while it lasts.
I won't complain if it's Vegas, but if it's Colorado, that won't sit well with me.
You know, after, not to get into too much hockey talk here, but after game one of the Vegas-Colorado series, I told Mike, because Colorado blew the doors off of Vegas, I'm like, oh boy, Colorado just looks like a different monster right now. But Vegas has turned it around. They made a change at goalie, which Marc-Andre Fleury should have started game one to begin with. But that's either here or there. But now with Fleury in net, Vegas did lose game two, but it was in overtime. And I think Colorado was on the power play, too, because of a stupid Vegas penalty. But then the series went back to Vegas. Game three win. Game four, big win last night for Vegas. Now it's 2-2. The momentum is back in Vegas' favor. And coming into these playoffs, I don't know if you remember this, Mike, but I was very high on Vegas. You know, that was my pick to win the whole thing. So to see them kind of getting hot now and potentially taking down Colorado, who I absolutely do not like at all. Neither does any Wings fan. But if Vegas can get this done, that'd be very nice. And I know Mike would be very excited for a potential, again, quote-unquote, Final Four matchup, possibly, between Vegas and Montreal. You would root for Montreal, wouldn't you?
I think I would.
I got a translation for all our fans from Quebec that listen to Trash Talk.
You better be nice.
Montreal, nous allons au championnat.
I don't know what that was, but I think that's a good way to cap off the hockey talk. Thanks, Clipper fan number 5, and thank you, Mike, for allowing me to talk a little bit of hockey. That felt good. Let's move on to Jay Horn. How are you today, Jay? Are you excited for tomorrow, as the rest of us are? And also, give me your quick thoughts on Floyd and Logan Paul last night.
The fight was pretty good for whatever it was.
It was something.
Yeah, it was something, all right. Didn't go how I wanted to go, but it was pretty cool.
Hey, but you know what? It was an exhibition. No one technically won, but let's be real here. We know who won that fight.
Oh, if you watched the fight, you saw what happened. He was hugging him because he was holding on to dear life.
Logan was tired by like round 3. He was dripping in sweat by like the second or third round.
But tomorrow is the day, Tony.
Tomorrow is the day. I'm asking you, are you ready?
No, I'm not. Not yet. I'm still a little nervous about the weather, but I'll be all right tomorrow.
Again, I checked the weather forecast, and it's looking better than what it was, so we'll see, though. We'll see. It's just going to be good to have the boys together regardless, though.
Yeah, it's been like 2 weeks since I've been on a Trash Talk show, man. I was, we know what happened last week.
Do you want to talk about how your Memorial Day went?
I truly don't remember.
It's like me at every wedding I've been at.
I have to go through my phone and look at the pictures and social media because I can't tell you anything past like 2 o'clock.
Do you remember having one of your car mirrors blown off?
Nope, didn't see that until like the next day. So I had a good time.
Jay sent us a snap on Tuesday morning and his car was missing one of his like rear view mirrors. But he got it fixed, though. That's what counts. But it's good to have you back today, though, Jay. Last but not least, Grant Richards. How are you today, Grant? And as always, Mike, take it away from me.
As always, how did the sports betting go this weekend?
Yeah.
Well, we're either 3 or 4 weeks straight of just kind of absolutely killing it right now. So feeling pretty good. My regular bets didn't really hit this weekend, but we did hit on a nice little boosted odds for a Kawhi or Luka to score 40. And what do we call him, Tony? Sweet baby Luka?
My sweet beautiful Luka. Yeah.
Sweet beautiful Luka came through, put up an impressive amount of points in a losing effort. And I think a couple of you guys had the Save Luka tweets trending. So yeah. Thank you, Luka Doncic.
We'll talk about my sweet, beautiful Luka later in the program. I'm still very upset at what happened last night. But with regard to sports betting, it's good to hear that you're on a hot streak right now. Because me, on the other hand, we finished down last week. But that's okay, though, because I finished the week hot. Though I finished down, I finished with a little bit of momentum. And we're carrying that into this week for what's going to be a bounce back week. Yesterday, I had to make a 9th-inning comeback, down a few runs. The NBA bets really didn't help me out, specifically the Mavs, unfortunately. But the NHL bets, Canadiens money line, Vegas Golden Knights money line. I know Mike will be proud of that. And because of those two hitting, though it was a down week, we're going into this week with some momentum. I can't complain about that. So, boys, it is good to have everyone back on the show this week. And by the way, in our Trash Talk group chat, Mike did just send a picture of the weather forecast. This is for Tuesday, correct, Mike?
Yes.
Okay, so it looks like about a 25% chance of rain from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then it just goes dramatically down to below 20% at 11. That looks perfect. Does it not, Mike?
It looks good to me, but we shall see.
Maybe, and I say maybe, because at 7 o'clock, this picture says 45% chance of rain. Maybe the game starts in a little delay, but again, that's maybe. Other than that, the forecast is looking pretty good. Might be a little cloudy, might not be a beautiful summer night at Comerica, but as long as we play some baseball, we're together, I'm not going to complain. All right, boys. So today is going to be all NBA playoffs talk. It's going to be a miserable show for me, but let's just get right into it. There's a lot I want to say, so if you boys will allow me maybe the first 5 minutes here to just let me go and let me get it all out, that would be very much appreciated. Just let me get all this weight off of my shoulders and just let me go. So yeah, the past few days for me as an NBA fan were not exactly fun. And the theme of today's show, at least for me, is please get my favorite superstars help. Okay? LeBron, Luka, Dame, please get my favorite superstars help. Because all of them lost in the first round after their teammates failed to do absolutely anything of importance. Okay? Let's start with the Lakers. First of all, I will give credit to the Suns. I mentioned on the show either last week or the week before that if the Lakers were to lose to anybody, I would want it to be the Suns. That's a young, fun team on the rise. I love Devin Booker. DeAndre Ayton played very well. CP3, even with a bad shoulder, was doing his thing in games 4 through 6. Monty Williams is one of my favorite coaches in the league. I like the Suns team. I'm not a big Cameron Painter, Jay Crowder guy, but I do like this Suns team, and I like their chances to hopefully win the West this year. We'll see, though. But as for the Lakers, I'll give it to Jay. He told me this Lakers team wasn't very good, and he was right. Listen, LeBron at age 36 cannot carry this team without AD. He can't. Now, I think Grant mentioned this last week, and he could correct me if I'm wrong, but that's not me saying that LeBron isn't the GOAT, and that's not me saying he's not the best player on the planet or he's washed or something, okay? That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying that at age 36, LeBron is going to need just a little bit of help. He's going to need someone else to step up, and that did not happen against the Suns in games 5, 6, and the second half of game 4 as well. Kuzma, Caruso, our favorite Andre Drummond, who was my favorite, Dennis Schroeder, Markieff, Gasol, Montrez, KCP, though the C stands for champion, Wesley Matthews. None of them did anything valuable the second Anthony Davis got hurt. Nothing. They did absolutely nothing. The second AD went down in game 4 right before halftime, this series was over. This series was absolutely over the second he went down. This Suns team was just way better of a team than the Lakers without Anthony Davis. If AD was healthy, I'd still take the Lakers to win that series. But that's obviously not how it went, and that's neither here or there. And regarding AD, it was just one of those seasons. I mean, I know Mike and Eli especially like to make fun of him because he's always getting hurt, and I think Jay made some comments on Twitter too, but it was just one of those seasons where he just really couldn't stay healthy, and I would put this under a lost season category because of all those injuries. Now, I will note that I think people forget that the Lakers only had, I think it was like 71 days in between the end of the bubble and the start of the 2020-2021 season. That's not a lot of time to get your body ready for another NBA season after going through an entire playoffs run in the bubble. That probably had a lot to do with what happened to Anthony Davis this year. I just don't think his body was fully recovered from the grind of the bubble in the playoffs, but whatever. Still put this under the lost season category for AD and LeBron as well. I'm still confident in Anthony Davis going forward. He's still one of the best bigs in the league when he's healthy. He could take this time to recover. And the same goes with Bron. He was never 100%. I don't care what anyone says. He was never 100%. Now that the season's over, he could take the full amount of time this offseason to get right. It stinks that he's out of the playoffs, but I do think it's good for both him and Anthony Davis to have this time off to really recuperate and get ready for the comeback next season. As for the other Lakers, though, they can all go. I really do not care about the rest of them. Rebuild this thing on the fly. I don't know how you get other guys in here with the cap situation. And I don't know who you get in here either to replace these guys, but literally anybody that what you previously had. Okay? That's all I got on the Lakers. Run it back next year. Get a new team. Lakers in five. Go, Bron. Let's go. On to Dallas. Oh, my sweet, beautiful Luka. I'm so mad how that series ended. I am so mad at how that series ended. Luka was awesome, as per the usual. In Game 7, 46 points, 14 assists, 7 rebounds, and the Mavs lost by 15! They lost by 15 when Luka put up those numbers. Get Luka help. It's that simple. KP, he isn't the second star that you thought he was. He's not. 0-5 from 3 in Game 7. Really? Kristaps Porzingis? You kidding me? And then I saw a report from ESPN today that Kristaps is apparently unhappy with his role in Dallas because Luka is like the dominant ball handler or something crazy like that. Okay, good for you. Then get out. Let's get Luka some actual help, please. So Kristaps was fantastic, especially in Game 7. Tim Hardaway Jr., who I will say was good in this series, he was very good, but in Game 7, where was he? 5 of 14 from the field and 1 of 9 from downtown. Nobody off the bench for the Mavs hit a 3 either. The only guy I'll give credit to for Dallas that's not named my sweet beautiful Luka is Dorian Finney-Smith. He had a nice game, but other than him, please get Luka help, please. Last but not least, Dame. Oh, Dame. I wish he would ask out of Portland. I really would. A first-round exit to Denver after Dame was doing his thing. Especially in Game 5. 55 points and 10 assists with one turnover. One in 51 minutes. And in Game 5, Portland lost by 7 to the Nuggets. Dame averaged over 30 points per game in that series. And Portland lost in 6. Please get him help. Get him an actual second star. I love CJ McCollum, but CJ is not that dude. 36-year-old Melo isn't that dude either. Norman Powell, Nurkic, no, none of them are the second star that Dame needs. He needs an actual star with him. And the unfortunate reality of the situation is that it's Portland. I do not think Portland can get Dame a second star that we want him to play with, but who knows? Now, I will say this with regards to Portland, though. If they hired Chauncey, now we're talking. I would love that hire. Chauncey with Dame? I would like to see that. We'll see, though. But I'm done talking. That's my rant. Go get my favorite superstars help. LeBron, Luka, Dame, please get my favorite superstars help. With that, I'll send it to Eli. Go ahead and talk for me, Eli. You can talk about the Lakers. You can talk about your Clippers getting the win because he's a Clippers fan now. You can talk about Dame. Go ahead and talk for me.
Yeah, it was tough watching all those guys pretty much literally put their team on their back because no one else on their team can do anything. I would have liked to see LeBron be more aggressive on offense. He was deferring a lot to his teammates who kept bricking the wide open shots he gave them. But that's his play style. That's how he plays. He's not just going to change his play style in year 18 to become an all-out scorer. So I don't really blame LeBron. And yeah, he didn't look that healthy either. So the Lakers are just bad. They need to look themselves in the mirror and figure out what's going on. Magic Johnson said Dennis Schroeder is not a Lakers type player. So you can kind of kiss Dennis Schroeder goodbye, I think. Kristaps Porzingis. I don't know if it was the injuries. I don't think it's Dallas' system, to be honest, because he just can't do anything. They give him the ball. Like, it's not like Luka's just a ball hog. Like, they give Kristaps the ball. He just can't do anything. Can't get to the rim. He can't post up anymore. I mean, he gets guys like Reggie Jackson, Patrick Beverley switched onto him, and he just doesn't take advantage of it. He can't do anything. All he does, he's a glorified Davis Bertans. He's a twice as expensive Davis Bertans. That's all he is. And he's a worse Davis. I'd rather have Davis Bertans than Kristaps. Is that crazy to say? For the money, Davis Bertans making, like, I don't know, 16 mil. Kristaps making 30 to be worse. I don't know, man. Kristaps is, I don't know what they're, they might have to wave and stretch him like we did Josh Smith, honestly.
I do think the injuries played a part in
his
downfall for sure. But
they did, but you gotta bounce back somehow. You gotta change your play style. You gotta do something. I don't know. They need to get Luka help. I think interesting idea is for them to get like a Jeremy Grant next to him. I think that could be really interesting. But I doubt the Pistons will trade Jeremy. But not to make it about the Pistons. The Clippers.
Well, since you brought up the Pistons, not to interrupt you, what would your hypothetical trade package look like?
I have no idea. I just don't want Kristaps. I think they should waive and stretch him, honestly. I honestly think waiving and stretching him is their best option.
Jeez.
That's how bad he is. He's that bad. No, like, there's nothing they could give me to make me take Kristaps off their hands. No, they don't have any ass. I'm just saying, like, a guy like Jeremy Grant is what I think they should get next
okay.
to Luka.
Yeah, okay.
And then as for my Clippers, as you have now dubbed them, which I'm literally only rooting for them because they have Reggie Jackson, Luke Kennard, and Marcus Morris.
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson, man, he is going to get a nice contract, and I'm so happy for him, man.
4-10 from the field in game 7 to 3 of 8 from
17
downtown.
Points. That's better than Luka's help. Give Luka Reggie Jackson. Maybe they would have won the series.
Oh, let's settle down now.
Yeah, give Luka Reggie
down.
Jackson.
No,
maybe
let's settle down.
Won.
Okay.
Give Reggie Jackson to the Lakers. Maybe the Lakers could have won too, but you
keep
know.
Reggie Jackson far away from us. Thank you.
Nah, man. You think you'd rather have Dennis Schroeder than Reggie Jackson? I think that's proven wrong at this point.
I'd rather go trade for Dame.
Yeah, good luck with that. Sell your soul to get Dame on the Lakers.
Trade away.
The Clippers sold their soul for Kawhi and Paul George. Might as well join them. The Lakers don't have a future after LeBron goes away anyway, so.
Yeah, I don't know what Portland's going to do. I don't think they trade Dame. I think they're going to look to trade CJ to try to get a different look. Yeah,
they should have traded CJ 3 years ago. But
I don't know. I don't know who wants CJ at this point. Like, it's kind of proven that you can't win with like a small shooting guard. I think CJ is gonna have to play the one if you're gonna have a chance in the playoffs, or you're gonna have to have like a Ben Simmons type point guard, so that you could play defense. Because having two small guards, it just doesn't work. You get picked on. Especially when both of them can't play defense, like Dame and CJ, they get picked on.
Well, speaking of Ben Simmons, do you think Philadelphia would make sense?
I could see it, definitely.
Like, what if hypothetically, let's say, I mean, I don't think the Hawks beat Philadelphia, even though they won game one. But let's say hypothetically the Hawks pull off the upset and Philadelphia decides, all right, you know what, now it's time to break up Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. What if you do some kind of swap involving Joel Embiid and CJ?
I don't think Philly would trade Joel over Ben Simmons. I was kind of thinking like a Tobias Harris thing, maybe.
That works too.
Give
that,
CJ
that works
CJ
too.
Tobias Harris, something like that.
You want to put Tobias with Dame? I'm fine with that too.
Yeah, I don't think that would be bad at all. But I don't think Tobias can be the second best guy on a championship team. But, I mean, in Portland, what more can you do in Portland? It's Portland.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I said I wish Dame would just ask out. But he's too loyal, man.
I don't like
the hell
that,
out of
though.
Him for that.
I don't like that, though. I don't like just making it like, oh, it's garbage for a small market to have a good player. Like, I hate that mentality. It really bothers me. And the national media, they push that narrative so hard that it's like, oh, they're like, you know, the Lakers lost and all that, and they're like, oh, the playoffs is ruined now because the Lakers lost. It's like, oh, yeah, we have to watch a Nuggets-Jazz conference finals or whatever. Like, it's really insulting that you're not a fan of the sport enough to enjoy seeing these teams on the rise. You just need your same old Knicks, Nets, Lakers. You just, the sport's not, you know, you don't get the clicks. You don't get the clicks without those teams. So you want to see those teams all the time. I think it's really, it's bad for the sport to push those narratives.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add off of that?
Keep balling, Reggie Jackson. I love Reggie Jackson. Shout out to him.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't even mention your boy Luke.
I mean, I didn't watch the game, but I saw he had 11 points. I'm happy for him. He got in the game. I mean, he got minutes, so that's all you can ask for.
He did more than get minutes. He took advantage of those minutes. He was knocking down some clutch threes, and Twitter was going wild. Which, hey, you know what? Good for the former Pistons. You're on the Clippers. I'm not rooting for you. I don't care if you're a former Piston or not. I'm not rooting for you. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Let's go to Mike now, though. Mike, give me your overall thoughts on what we've seen over the past week or so with the NBA playoffs. LeBron getting bounced. Last night's Game 7 loss for my sweet, beautiful Luka and the Mavs. Just go ahead and talk for me.
I didn't like what I saw from LeBron after the game, or in the game, rather. Literally walking on possessions. I mean, I understand your team sucks, and they literally can't do anything right. I mean, I don't know, that shot from Kuzma pretty much screams what that Lakers team is.
Just I know LeBron exactly what shot you're talking about.
And a bunch of bums, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't blame him for being mad. I'd be too. But if you're just going to walk on possessions, I think you should just check out of the game.
I think LeBron knew they didn't have a shot. Which, again,
he knew from the start.
Again, it goes back to what I said. The second AD got hurt, the series was over. LeBron, 36 years old, is not going to carry this Lakers team by himself. Maybe if he was younger, sure, but, you know, he needs a little bit of help.
I don't even think he wanted to win.
What's that?
I honestly don't even think he wanted to win. I think he's so burned out, like he needs a break. And I don't blame him.
No, I don't think. And it goes back to what I said a few minutes ago. I don't think getting bounced from the first round is a terrible thing for him or Anthony Davis. Because, again, I'm pretty sure they had like 71 days from the bubble ending to having the start of this current season that we're in right now. 71 days. That's not enough time at all for your body to recuperate and get ready. You know, by the time they got back from the bubble, they had to immediately get ready for the next season.
Yeah, they're tired. I mean, I can't. That's just the human body. I can't blame them. I mean, I honestly would probably feel the same way. I'd probably want to stop playing for this season because I'm just so burned out. And, you know, that's just how it goes. But,
And the Suns were fresh, too, by the way. Not to cut you off, but I think we do have to also mention that the Lakers were tired and the Suns are young and fresh. Okay?
Yeah.
But continue. Yeah, okay. I will agree with you now. If there is a team that I would really prefer to see come out of the West, it is absolutely Phoenix, with Denver being a close second. Now, I tweeted this last night. I refuse to root for anybody in that Clippers-Jazz series. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not rooting for the Clippers. I'm not rooting for the Jazz. I'm just going to let that series happen, and then I'll root for both Phoenix and Denver equally, because whoever wins that series, I'm going to become their biggest fan for the for the Western Conference Finals, especially if they play the Clippers. Oh, boy. Oh. But continue.
With the Clippers and Mavs series, honestly, after Game four. Yeah, after game four, I thought it was over, meaning the Clippers were winning the series. I mean, Luka just...
Yeah, Luka was hurt.
How much can Luka do, really? Like, it's... I don't want Luka to turn out like Dame, where he's just on a team where he's alone and exiting in the first round so many times. It's my fear. Like, hopefully he'll realize it early enough to want out if they don't give him help. But, I mean, in all honesty, Dallas isn't really a place where you can't attract a free agent. I think you can sign people there. I mean, it's a nice city. It's not like you know, like, no hate on Portland, but Portland, I mean, it's literally raining every day over there. Who wants to live there?
No, you can flame Portland. I'll do it for you. I think Dallas is a much more attractive free agent destination than Portland. And it just goes back to what I said about Dame. I wish he would ask out, but he's so loyal to the Trailblazers, and I respect the hell out of him for it, but, like, Dame, it gets to a point where you just...
Oh! Imagine...
Imagine Dame, and I'm sorry for cutting you off again, but imagine Dame with the Knicks. Come on!
Man. The thing with the NBA is you can be as loyal as you want. A team will stab your back any day of the week. They don't care. I mean, you look at Boston, for example, with Isaiah Thomas. I mean, you know what he did for that team. They still just traded him away. That's why you can't be loyal in today's NBA anymore. But I still respect it, you know, because at the end of the day, you're playing for a city and not necessarily an organization as much. But I want to see Dame win. I want to see him be on a real contender. I want to see him get a ring. He deserves it.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree. That's why I'm sitting here sad on a Monday.
One more thing.
What's that?
Is that this season has been ruined because of the Nets and their whole super team shenanigans. It's honestly gotten ridiculous that a team like that even exists, because you're just ruining the integrity of the sport, because there's literally, like, we all want to be so optimistic about this year's playoffs, but in reality, when they win, it's just going to be disappointing.
No one's beating Brooklyn. I do not think anyone's beating Brooklyn. I mean, Milwaukee, I think, has the best shot in the East because, you know, Philadelphia. Joel Embiid did play good in game one with his small meniscus tear in his knee, but that's still a thing, you know. I don't know how healthy Joel Embiid is or isn't, and because of that, I'm not sure Philadelphia has much of a shot, even if they had one to begin with, but that's neither here or there against Brooklyn. But, yeah, like, Milwaukee, they might have the best shot, and they shot a whopping 6 of 30 from downtown in game one. That's how you start the series. And they didn't have James Harden either, because he's hurt again. I don't think anyone beats Brooklyn, East or West, but...
Even without Harden.
That'll make Jay happy, though. Speaking of Jay, why don't we go to Jay now? Give me your thoughts on how the weekend went, and you could also talk about how you're feeling about your Brooklyn Nets at the moment, as they're up 1-0, and they play game two tonight.
You want me to go East or West first?
You can go whatever you want. The floor is open for whatever
you
choose.
Okay. I'm at the rant. I'm at the rant. Let's start off with your Lakers, man.
Oh, boy.
I told you.
I gave you credit.
No, this is my turn, Tony. No. I told you, man. All jokes aside, I didn't think they were going to win with AD. I truly didn't. That team needs to be fired. LeBron, if you watch how LeBron plays in, like, certain, like, possessions, like Mike was saying, you can tell, like, how pissed he was. And I just feel like that team needs to get rid of Kuzma. Am I wrong with that one?
No, you are absolutely correct. And I think every actual Lakers fan would agree with you.
I made a tweet. I don't know if you guys played this team. I talked about how, you know, Ingram, Clarkson, and Lonzo and Randall all kind of peaked a little bit. And he hasn't made any progression towards any type of player that we may think he may be. And it's killing me.
Kuzma?
I don't think Kuzma peaked yet.
I think Kuzma's best moments were his rookie year. I think that's when he peaked.
And now his core group is out here winning most improved six-man of the year awards and whatever.
Well, let's settle down. The Pelicans didn't make the playoffs.
So. No, but Lonzo's a better player than... No, I know. Yeah, they suck. But Lonzo's finally starting to be a point guard. But besides the point, Dennis Schroeder, you know, I didn't know Cameron Payne had him. Cam Payne is a better player than Dennis Schroeder, apparently. He's in a contract year. Wesley Matthews took out his braids and got worse. Oh, my God. That team is just bad. That team just not good, man. Like, Andre Drummond, I don't even know why he was there.
I'm surprised it took everyone this long to mention Andre. I'm surprised Eli or Mike didn't mention it.
It's just like, what was he there for? Seriously.
Well.
His music career?
Oh, trust me, I know it's not that good. Oh, we're going to get killed if he hears this. Anyway, it's Mike's fault. I didn't like that. I felt bad because Bron, if you watched how he played, like I said, he wasn't trying to score because he was trusting the bums. And every time they got the ball, things just went left. You know, shout out to Phoenix. Chris Paul was talking really, you know, choppy. He didn't score that much, though. Shout out to the Suns.
He did his thing, though. Yeah, bad shoulder and all, games four through six, he still did his thing.
DeAndre Ayton is really impressing me in this series, or in the playoffs.
I liked what I saw from Ayton in the first round, for sure.
Yeah, he's starting to come into his own. Campaign is going to get him a contract, like I said. Jay Crowder just shows up when you don't want him to, and it just kills me.
My eyes roll into the back of my head after you mentioned Cameron Payne, and then they just completely flipped over when you mentioned Jay Crowder.
Oh, my gosh. It killed me. But Devin Booker, you know, solid. I'm fine with that.
Oh. No, I love Devin Booker. Yeah. I absolutely love Devin Booker, and I'm happy that he is finally starting to get more recognition around the league, for sure.
Mm-hmm. What's next? Luka. Oh. Luka let me down, man. I know
Luka let you down?
Not when I say him, I mean the Mavs, because that's all that he is the Mavs, apparently, because Kristaps Porzingis or whatever, he can't play. Tim Hardaway was showing out,
except for Game 7.
Yeah, he just went missing. Finney Smith was doing the best he could on Kawhi. He was getting killed, but it's okay. I don't like the Clippers. You know I don't. You know, Eli loves them. I don't like them.
I'm also not a big Clippers fan, and I'm not happy at all.
Paul George makes me sick.
He didn't do anything, man. It was all Kawhi. It was literally Pistons.
Jay, Reggie, I'm pretty sure, played better than Paul George.
You know what's crazy? Every time I watched a highlight, Reggie Jackson was, like, streaking. Like, it was bad, dude. Like, he was on fire every time I seen a highlight. So, shout out to Reggie Jackson, man.
Paul George in Game 7 was 5 of 15 from the field and 2 of 8 from downtown, while Reggie, as I mentioned earlier, Reggie was 4 of 10 from the field and 3 of 8 from downtown. It's not like any of them did good. It was all Kawhi and Marcus Morris out of nowhere hitting 7 three-pointers on 9 attempts.
Truly speaking, they might mess around and beat Utah.
You know, Mike is a big Utah guy, which is news to me. But I think the Clippers
probably beat the
Jazz. I want the Jazz, which makes me sick to say that, but I would much rather prefer the Jazz to move on than the Clippers. But who has the best player in the series? The Clippers, unfortunately. So if you have the best player in the series, you automatically get the edge to most people, mm-hmm. including me. Yeah. So
oh yeah, sure. I'll make it quick though, because I know Grant's to talk. But Denver and Phoenix, I want Phoenix in 7. I don't even care who wins that series, man. I'll be happy either way.
I'd prefer for the Suns to win, but you know, too many people are crapping on Denver. I would like to see them move on, and Joker, I would like to see him get some shine in the Western Conference Finals and maybe even the Finals if they make it that far, but. I still prefer Phoenix, though.
Yeah, I prefer them, too. And in the East, I don't know what Atlanta's been up to lately, but...
Go Trey, baby!
You know, Trey Young's feeding. If Philly loses, I don't know what to tell you, but it doesn't matter because they're playing the Nets anyway. Go Nets. So I know Mike hates super teams and stuff like that, you know. But
I just straight up don't like the Nets because of Blake and KD and Kyrie and James Harden. But
you just named the whole team.
I didn't say Bruce Brown. I love Bruce. I could pull a Eli and become a Nets fan just for Bruce Brown, but I'm not doing that.
No, the Bucks have to win tonight to even have a chance.
They have to shoot more than 6 of 30 from downtown.
While James Harden is out, they have to win tonight.
No, they have to capitalize for sure. But going to the Hawks and Sixers series, as Jay brought up, I mentioned this a few minutes ago. Joel Embiid, he dropped 39 points in game one. I don't know how healthy he is or isn't, but he's still playing really good. And the Hawks still won. They almost blew it, but the Hawks still won game one. My beautiful Trey had 35 points and 10 assists. Eli, who was it that hit the dagger and told the crowd to be quiet? Was that Bogdan Bogdanovic?
I was on the road. I was not watching the end of the game.
It was for sure Bogdanovic. It was beautiful, too.
Yeah, he had 21 points.
They kept hitting shots, man. When I was watching the game, they could not miss.
Atlanta finished that game 43% from downtown. That's how you win playoff games on the road. You got to make your shots. Hawks and Bucks are perfect examples of that. Oh, goodness. But let's finish off with Grant here. I do apologize, Grant, that we're getting to you so late, but you have as much time as you need. Go ahead and talk for me. You are from California, so I would love to hear your thoughts on the Lakers and LeBron, along with the Clippers, too. But just in general, just give me your thoughts on what's gone on in the playoffs recently.
Well, I mean, as a California native growing up, I was a Lakers fan. Disavowed when His Highness arrived in L.A. Don't have to get into it.
Me and Grant flipped spots on the Lakers fandom train when LeBron got there. I took his spot.
Yeah, I gave up my seat for Tony, so it's a fair trade. But it was always fun dunking on the Clippers, and it was even more fun watching people dunk on their five fans, which I like to pretend the Staples Center was allowing full capacity, and the Clippers just couldn't sell tickets. But
They have more cardboard cutouts on fans, Mike.
Yeah, I think there's no. I know that. I saw the cardboard cutouts. I just think there's still some COVID restrictions there.
They had like 6,000 fans. I think the Lakers had like 8. Don't quote me on it, but it was definitely less than the Lakers.
How many cardboard cutouts do they have, Mike? Like 10,000?
A lot. I mean, Rachel Nichols took a picture, and behind her, I cannot find one breathing human being.
Mike said, I don't see another human in that picture.
It's just Rachel.
Oh, Grant, continue.
No, but that's funny. But just the entire NBA playoffs have gone pretty well, in my opinion. I feel like usually in the first round, it's kind of like 4-0 series for everybody, or 4-1 if you want to get gentlemanly about it. But now it just kind of feels like anyone can win any game. And from what I saw with the Hawks last night, that's kind of true. I mean, I wrote the Hawks off in round two. I didn't see any sign other than Trae Young that team could hang with Simmons and Embiid. But here we are, and the games are getting nice. And I don't know. I think it's kind of up in the air now that at least one of the favorites from the West has been removed.
The favorite.
Sorry. Yes, the favorite from the West has been removed. I could get into trying to find the doctor that let Anthony Davis play in that final game, because that was absolutely ridiculous to get hurt that quickly. Kind of shows you he was not even close to being good, but we did talk about it the week before that he's playing. I mean,
he was not healthy, and he should not have been on the floor. I give credit to AD for trying to push through it, but I mean, Charles Barkley said it best. The doctor needs to be fired. I don't know who let AD go on the floor for that game. In 5 minutes, he was out. Like, you could see he was clearly in pain, but
Yeah, another time where I just like to think of things that probably aren't true, but I like to think LeBron James walked into that locker room or the medical room and just said, yeah, he's fine, Doc. He's playing. And that seemed a little ridiculous considering what they were up against and how things had gone already.
Well, I saw, I think, I don't remember who the report came from, but it came from Bleacher Report. That's how I saw the notification. LeBron reportedly was actually telling AD not to rush, but
I don't know how much I believe that.
LeBron knew they weren't winning, man. I'm telling you, LeBron knew they weren't winning. It's like Floyd Mayweather last night. It was an exhibition. He knew he wasn't going to get knocked out by Logan Paul. Floyd was just having fun out there. I'm sure LeBron was just like, we're screwed.
I mean, his body language definitely reflects that in that last game. But no, my last kind of point is just we talk about getting superstars help, and then we talk about hating super teams. And are we not towing the line saying that LeBron James needs help? Like, obviously, better supporting role players would be beneficial, but it just feels like if you get LeBron James and Anthony Davis and then even a remotely big name, like not a superstar, but like a star, like, for example, like a Jeremiah Grant piece, I think that we're kind of towing the line of super team again, and then we're just ruining the NBA further. So I feel like the Lakers and like some of those teams that tried to build these kind of super teams, I mean, even though the Clippers advanced, I don't think they're really going to win anything. It's a confusing time in the NBA, at least from someone who's not ear to the ground like some of you guys. It just feels weird that you don't want to be the super team, but you want to win, and there are super teams. So are we moving closer to more super teams? Like, I don't think the Nets disband and then everyone's like, oh, let's try and win with like our star and supporting casts. Like, I don't see Bradley Beal being the second piece of a championship team.
Well, you just brought up the point that I was going to mention. Though we might not like super teams, the Nets aren't going anywhere. They're probably very likely going to win this year, and then they're probably going to be back next year at full strength too, which means the only way you're going to take them down is if you go to a Dame or you're a Luka and you go to someone out there and you're like, hey, you want to take them down? Come play with me. We can do this. If you're LeBron and AD, you got to look at someone and go, hey, you want to take them down? Come to LA, join us. If you're Steph, you want to take them down? Come back with me and a healthy Clay. Let's go. You know, I think that's a very fair point from Grant to mention there. And I want to, from that point, ask Mike his opinion. And Grant, if you have to go back to work, please feel free. We always appreciate the time. But Mike, from that point, I want your thoughts, because you were the one who just stated that you're not a big super team guy and you're not a Nets guy because of the super team that they have formed and they're probably going to win a championship with. So give me your thoughts on this whole conversation.
That makes me want to vomit. I mean, you're just going to have LA and New York in the finals for like 5 straight years. That's disgusting. Like, no one wants, I don't want to see that. All right. I know the NBA does, because that's 2 huge markets and that's a lot of money that could be made right there. But like, you're just like, anyone that's a fan of a small market team just feels helpless. Like, no matter what we do right, no one's going to come and sign here. Like, the Nets literally bought their team. The Lakers bought their team. The only way the Pistons can be competitive, I don't want to turn it into Pistons talk, but any small market team can be competitive, is they have to draft 100% correctly, and they might have to do trades, or they'd have to sign free agents, and those free agents have to magically just, you know, start playing well when they're on that team. So it's not fun anymore. And I know, you know, in the past there's been dynasties and teams that just keep winning and winning, but I thought it was going to finally be over after KD was injured in 2019 and the Raptors won. I thought, okay, this nonsense is finally over when KD signed with Kyrie and it was just two guys. Okay, I'm like, two guys is fine. You got two there and you got two on the Lakers with LeBron and AD. That's fine. I'm cool with that. But once the Nets added Harden, I'm like, okay, they're just ruining the league again. Like, this isn't okay. I know KD has no, you know, respect for competition, that he's a snake. Fine, whatever. But there's other guys out here that want to win. This is ridiculous. That's all I got to say.
You brought up the Pistons. I think it's interesting that you mentioned them because I think you are correct. A small market team like the Pistons, they do have to draft absolutely perfectly. But I also think in the era we're in right now, Phoenix serves as a good template, if you will. Like you have your star in Devin Booker. You have a rising all-star level player in DeAndre Ayton. And you made smart trades and signings to put around them. Guys like CP3 and, though I don't feel great saying this, Jay Crowder, Cameron Payne somehow, you know. I think the Suns serve as like a perfect template. And they just took down the Lakers with that team that they have built, you know. But I think it's interesting that Grant brought that up. I think it is really interesting, but is there something else that you wanted to add, Mike?
To me, the Lakers are not a super team, especially this year's.
I wasn't saying they're a super team, but the Suns took down a team headlined by LeBron James and Anthony Davis is my point.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fine. Like, that's what I want to see.
If the Pistons can get Cade Cunningham, I think that kind of takes the takes a little stress off our shoulders.
Fingers crossed.
Eli, I want to get you in here too. What's your overall take on that?
Yeah, I think, and with the Suns, you know, you said they could be a template. I mean, they've drafted terribly. They are one of the worst drafting teams over the past decade. Literally their only good pick being Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton is even debatable because they could add Luka or Trae Young next to Devin Booker.
But bingo, they nailed the two picks that they need to pick, though.
Yeah, but, man, like, they could have had so much more. I mean, this year they drafted who? I don't even know.
I can't answer that question.
Yeah, no, I know who they got. They got Mikal Bridges.
That was a good pick. He's
pretty decent.
That was a good pick. But they had the 10th pick this year. They could have taken Haliburton, and they didn't.
Didn't they take that one guy from Alabama or Florida State?
Hold on. I'll tell you right now.
I don't know who they got.
I swear they took someone from one of those.
It was a bunch of no-names scoring in that playoff streak, like that Cameron Johnson guy. And stuff.
Well, hey, Cam Johnson was Johnson. A decent pick too. Yeah. They drafted Jalen Smith number 10 this year, and he played 6 minutes a game when they could have had Haliburton as their backup point guard. That is just a big fumbling, if you ask me. And that could be the difference between going to the championship and not going to the championship, in my opinion. Like that, you just can't. And that's the thing: as a small market, you can't afford to make mistakes like that. And that's kind of what sucks being a small market. But we'll see, I guess. But I don't think any small market can compete with what Brooklyn did. And I like how Mike said they literally bought their team, because they pretty much did. Like, I just don't see how you can beat that.
I like that, Mike. I actually agree with that one.
That's Eli.
You literally just paid for it.
No, I'm saying what Mike's like point was. I know. Yeah, I know Eli's voice.
I'm just making sure.
No, like you said, Phoenix though, Golden State was like a bigger market, but they weren't like huge. They drafted all their players. I'm not talking about post KD era, but they just got lucky when they drafted all their players. Klay Thompson was a nobody.
I think drafting a superstar helps too.
Like, Klay Thompson was an unknown shooting guard in the Pac-12 or Pac-10 and just got lucky.
I think drafting a superstar helps too, because look at the Hawks. They drafted Trey, and though it took a few years, there they go.
Yeah.
And they got good free agents to come there. They got guys like Gallinari, Bogdanovich, like
Capella got there too. I think he got traded though.
They got some guys that wanted to come there. Once a team sees that, or once players see that a team is on the rise, I think players are more willing to go to that place, even if it's a small market. Like, I think with the Pistons, in 2 years, like, let's say this year they make a play-in game, then, you know, Blake's money comes off the books after next year. I think we could see them be aggressive in free agency and try to go after one of the top guys in free agency.
And that's another good point that I was going to bring up. I'm glad that you mentioned that. I think that's another very valid point. And that goes back to my point about drafting a superstar. If you draft that guy, I think that will help more people want to come play with them. And again, I'm going to go back to the Phoenix example. I think they could serve as a template because they got Devin Booker. They got DeAndre Ayton. CP3, he could have said, I'm not going to Phoenix. But he said, I'll go play with them. And then they got guys like Jay Crowder to go there in free agency, you know? So I think that makes a difference. You can look at the Hawks, too. You know, Bogdan, he could have gone anywhere. He went with Atlanta. Gallinari, though, he's not, like, the player we thought he was going to be, like, last year with OKC. But he still chose to go there, you know? Like, you see the point I'm trying to make here?
Yeah. No, completely. Once you show competence as an organization and as a team, and once you they see that you have like a vision for a team, players would want to go there, regardless of where it is, regardless of what team it is, unless it's like Cleveland, because, you know, who wants to go to Cleveland? But
Mike, what's your thoughts on Cleveland?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
It's garbage. it's literally Detroit without an identity.
There you go.
Well, with that, I think that's a good way to wrap up today's program.
Cleveland, this is for you.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we're wrapping up here. We've had enough fun for one Monday. Oh, goodness. But I do think that's a good way to wrap up today's show. And that's a topic that, assuming the Nets are going to keep on rolling and they do win, this is a topic that we will probably revisit in the summer. And I think it's an interesting topic to bring up with what's going on with the Nets right now and the rest of the NBA, but maybe we're wrong. Maybe some team is going to pull off an upset. I doubt it, but we'll see. Nonetheless, though, again, that's a good way to wrap up today's show. And today was very therapeutic for me. I got a lot of stress off my shoulders doing my little non-angry rant. I just want to see my superstars get some help. Please, LeBron, Luka, Dame, please get them some help. And Dame, too, please get him a good coach. I mean, Terry Stotts, I didn't have an issue with him, but if you could go get Chauncey. Ooh. Eli, am I crazy here for wanting Chauncey with Dame?
No, I think it would be great.
Ooh.
I think it would be a lot better than, let's say, Chauncey taking over for when Ty Lue gets fired.
I would not want
Chauncey as the coach of the Clippers. You know, you guys call me a Clippers fan, but once Reggie's gone, I'm not a Clippers fan no more. You know, so I want Chauncey to go somewhere where I can root for him easily, and Portland, it would be easy to root for him there.
Would you root for Chauncey in Boston?
No, I would not. I cannot root for the Boston Celtics as a Pistons fan. It's very difficult for me.
Oh, I wouldn't root for them, period. But yeah, I mean, Chauncey's going to get hired eventually, which good for him, man. And
yeah, any year now, Chauncey will be a head coach somewhere, and I can't wait.
Probably this
season.
I was
hoping, you know, once 3 years down the line when Dwayne retires, Dwayne probably takes a role in the Pistons front office, I would think, and then they hire Chauncey to be his protege, if you will. That's always been the dream for me.
Yeah, I think that might be. I think that might be far gone. I think you might get hired this offseason. If not this offseason, for sure, probably next year or the year after. But we'll see, though. Regardless, though, today was very therapeutic for me. Feeling good. Let's make this a great week, boys. I'll see you tomorrow at Comerica. You ready, Mike and Eli? I know Jay is, but you two ready?
Oh, I am ready.
Full capacity, Mike.
First full capacity game, and we're going to be there. Let's go.
You ready, Eli?
Oh, I will be so ready. Please, God, don't let it rain.
What kind of food are you pigs getting?
I'm going to get some almonds, man. I'm going to drop like $20 on some almonds.
We'll just say there's no limit on food.
Oh,
there's never a limit with Mike.
Oh, well, yeah, but especially tomorrow.
You ready, Jay?
Oh, he said he dropped his laptop.
I didn't realize that. I have my phone muted.
Oh, yes, yeah, I'm ready. Oh, my laptop's dead.
Uh-oh. What happened? You said you dropped your laptop?
Bro, I tried to grab some coffee, and my laptop fell on the floor.
Well, with that...
Go Tigers!
Yeah! With that, goodbye, everybody. For Eli Bashy, Mike Villica, Jay Horn, Grant Richards, and Tyler Sawa, my name is Tony Abrowski. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you all soon. Go Tigers! Yeah!